worship here at Southport Congregational Church. We are thrilled to have you here, whether you are here in person or joining us online. Let's take a moment to join together in the call to worship. God created all the races and nations of the world, willing us to live together in peace and harmony.
God created us to be a family, but there is strife in our human family. Injustice abounds, and we are a divided people.
God calls us to let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
We must work passionately to raise the gulf between us, to overcome injustices that oppress others, and to restore God's beloved community.
We must be determined to change what we can.
We must have the courage to accept what we cannot change, and above all,
let us pray. God of all races and nations, we give thanks to you for all your faithful people who have done your will to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Today, we especially give you thanks for your servant, Martin Luther King, Jr. And we thank you for giving him the gifts of courage and conviction, for his passion for peace, and for his tireless quest of a nation that keeps faith with its promises. For all those who spoke out against racism and sexism and ageism and all other isms, for those who stood in the front lines, for those who integrated schools, who sat in buses and refused to move, who sat in restaurants and tolerated food being thrown at them, for the nameless who suffered under slavery, we grieve for them and promise to behave in our own lives in a way that will never bring those times back around. So as we gather here today to worship you, God, we ask that you be with each one of us as we examine our own lives, our own beliefs, our own words and actions, and make sure that they are not words and actions or beliefs of hatred towards anyone, so that your light may shine in us, and so that the forgiveness and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, may fill our hearts. All this we pray in his name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Coming up that we would love to have you participate in. First of all, our adult education program will continue this Wednesday night. Last week, we covered Hinduism as best we as Christians can do. And this week, we will be talking about Buddhism. So that is a Zoom event. You will receive the Zoom link on Wednesday. If you would like to join us, just jump on. We also have our Sip and Swap Holiday Decoration Exchange event coming up on Friday night at 6:30 here in Fellowship Hall. This is really just a time to get together, and if you have some of those holiday items, whatever holiday it is, that you are just tired of looking at and you think someone else might enjoy, bring them on over, and then you can swap them out for something else that you might want. Or, as someone asked, do I have to bring something and do I have to take something? And the answer is no. Just come and join us for some fun. Our stewardship campaign continues and is in progress, and we're making great strides. We would love to have 100% participation by the time of our annual meeting, so we know exactly what we're looking at for our upcoming program. So if you haven't yet had a chance to fill out your pledge, we would love for you to be able to do that and appreciate, as always, your love and generosity. And that brings up the annual meeting, which will be happening the last Sunday in February, February 27th. It will be held here. It will not include a luncheon. We are waiting for COVID to be over, and then we will return to that really fun luncheon event that we had. But for now, it will be available on our live stream and in person. If you would like to donate some flowers, like these gorgeous ones, which were donated today for the glory of God, we are looking for people to do that for us. It's really easy. You can contact Pam Poling. No, you don't have to arrange them yourself. You can get a florist to do that, which is the way I like to do it. January 23rd is our Youth Sunday. This is an annual Sunday that has been happening for as long as modern history that we can find, way back to the 1940s here at Southport Congregational Church. Our two youth group presidents, Aidan King and Kieran Heskey, will be giving the sermon. I think you are going to be very touched. Have the Kleenex ready. They are fabulous speakers. And then all our other high school youth will be participating in different speaking parts and singing. And it's a great Sunday all around. I think we all know the Carousel Thrift Shop closed in January due to the COVID surge. They're hoping to reopen February 1st. They are accepting donations on Tuesdays and Saturdays from, it says 10 to 12, but I think it's 10:30 because of the preschool. So I believe it's 10:30 to 12. And I just do want to give a special shout out to four people who have been with us, five people actually, who have been with us every week, maybe it's six now that I'm thinking, our fellowship committee, Robin Marshlow, Annie Lillis, Hetty Mosier, Tracy Provost, Betsy Gillespie, Katie Trainer. They have just provided, if you haven't gone back to eat, amazing. Like last week, homemade cheesecakes, they were ridiculous. So we thank you for showing your love for our community through that special gift. And we, right? Oh, look at that. Somebody really likes to eat. Looking at you, Paul DiPrato, whose birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday to Paul. Also, let's see, thank you to Wendy, our harpist here today, and to Nancy, who's going to be playing some bells. If I missed them, I'm sorry. They're coming up. Great. And I think that about does it all for the announcement. So I'm going to turn it back to our student minister, Julie Center, who has returned from vacation and is back on duty.
And I'm going to invite the kids up. So come on up, kids. It's time for your part of the service, the children's sermon. And there are very few of you, so I know you're going to walk really slowly. But it's going to be fun because we're going to play a game. All right. So I wonder if we can play a game called Guess What Is on the Inside of This Book. So what do we think that this book has on the inside? has some animals on the outside, probably some animals on the inside, right? Yeah? That's a good guess, right? Well, let's see. No? 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 Let's try another. This one's called Ordinary Mary's Extraordinary Deed. Do we think Mary's gonna be on the inside? Yeah, that's a good guess, right? No? We have Jesus on the inside. It's kind of strange. Okay, what about How to Raise a Mom? We should see some moms, right? No, oh, you're catching on. The Lorax? What? Okay, last one. I think you've got this. There's a bat on the outside of this one. Is there gonna be a bat on the inside? Yeah, you're right. I just did this one to mess you. So, right, this is a simple lesson. We don't judge books by their covers, right? We've heard that before. But today, or actually tomorrow, we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, who is a man who, believe it or not, had to teach our whole country this lesson. You see, back when he was a little boy, it was actually the law that you could judge a book by its cover. As an African American, even though they have beautiful outside covers and wonderful stories on the inside, people were only judged by the outside of their cover. Now, you've probably heard in school about Martin Luther King Jr., right? About how he had a dream that we would have a more fair society, about how people would not be judged by the outside, but rather about the inside, about love. But now that we've had a game, I wonder if we can do a quiz. How many of you know what his job was? We'll make it multiple choice. So raise your hand if you think Martin Luther King was a politician. Yeah, okay, we got one. Raise your hand if you think Martin Luther King was B, a mechanic. No. C, a businessman. Yeah, maybe, yeah, okay. We got some votes there. Or D, a minister. Yeah? Right, he was a minister, just like Reverends Paul and Laura Whitmore. Just like them, exactly. Same theology. Well, how do we go? If he's a minister, his job is to talk about Jesus, right? His job is to talk about God. How did he end up in Washington, D.C.? Well, the lesson of Martin Luther King Jr. is that sometimes to follow Jesus, you have to go outside of church. Sometimes to follow Jesus, you have to do what wasn't popular. See, Martin Luther King, for following Jesus, even though the lessons were really simple, right? We've all heard not to judge a book by its cover. Even though those lessons of Jesus are really simple, they're not always popular. And so Martin Luther King Jr. ended up in jail. And just like Jesus also, Martin Luther King ended up dying for the things that he believed in. And so that is the lesson that we get from Martin Luther King, is not only should we not judge a book by its cover, not only should we read the story within, and each one of those are very good stories, I promise, it's not just a trick, but we should also be brave enough to stand up for the lessons of Jesus, because that's how we end up changing the world. So can you pray with me? All right, repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for brave and loving people like Martin Luther King Jr. Please help us to follow Jesus so that we can create a world that is more fair, more loving, and more kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, so now you're going to follow the wonderfully brave and courageous Sydney King to church school. Who might already be in the chapel, so follow along to, there she is.
church members and community members who need your prayers. It would be a great time for you to take the friendship register found on the outside aisles and sign your name. Give us a little howdy-do note. Let us know you're here. If you're a visitor, if you'd like to give us your contact information, we would love to get to know you better. So while we're going through this, that'd be a great time to do that. So a couple of church members had a very sad week this week when they lost relatives. Ellen Levinson's mother died earlier this week, and Rob Shulton's brother died after a long battle with cancer last week as well. So we send our prayers to both the Levinson and the Shulton family at this time. Also, we have in the hospital currently right now, Carol Ketchum. She usually is sitting right there with her daughter, Ren Rex. Even though she was vaccinated and boosted, Carol contracted COVID and is fairly sick. So we need to send all our healing love and prayers to her and to her family. We also would ask your continued prayers for Brett Batchelor, Stephanie Whitaker's brother. He has been on a ventilator for a month now, not COVID-related. He had a surgery that had complications they were not anticipating, and his recovery looks not days or weeks, but actually a year. So that is a long time for the whole family. Stephanie has been out in California all this time, so we send her prayers and love and for strength and her whole family, and prayers to Brett for his healing as well. Allie Kralovic-Kircher also is in need of our prayers. She is continuing to deal with health issues, some which are resultant from the anaplasmosis that she contracted back during the youth mission trip, and then a new condition that was just discovered. So we just send you, because I know you're watching, Allie, all our love and prayers from your church family. And then we have prayers. We ask prayers for all of our church people, all of us, actually, for our mental health, whether we are having just small anxieties, large anxieties, or more severe psychological issues. We send our love and prayers to everyone who is working towards having positive mental health. And then also prayers of good news. Tim O'Neill, our buildings and grounds manager, has a new hip. He is up and moving around. He's antsy. He's doing computer work for church, even though we tell him he's on medical leave. He cares not. So he will be back in his golf cart before we know it. So we send you our love and prayers as well, Tim, because I know you also are here with us. So with those prayers, and then all the prayers that exist within your own hearts, let's take this time to lift them all to God. Let us pray. As we begin this prayer, I just want to take you back to a church in Alabama in 1957 when Martin Luther King Jr. prayed these words. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this golden privilege to worship thee, the only God of the universe. We come to thee today grateful that thou hast kept us through the long night of the past and ushered us into the challenge of the present and the bright hope of the future. We are mindful, O God, that man cannot save himself, for man is not the measure of things, and humanity is not God. Bound by our chains of sin and finiteness, we know we need a Savior. We thank thee, O God, for the spiritual nature of man. We are in nature, but we live above nature. Help us never to let anyone or any condition pull us so low as to cause us to hate. Give us the strength to love our enemies and to do good to those who despitefully use us and persecute us. We thank thee for thy church, founded upon thy word, that challenges us to do more than sing and pray, but to go out and work as though the very answer to our prayers depends on us and not upon thee. Then finally, help us to realize that man was created to shine like the stars and live on through all eternity. Keep us, we pray, in perfect peace. Help us to walk together, to pray together, to sing together, and to live together until that day when all God's children, black, white, red, and yellow, will rejoice in one common band of humanity, in the kingdom of our Lord and of you, our God. This we pray. Amen.
In honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as we continue this theme, it's only right that our call to offering comes from some of his wise words and the wise words of the person who inspired him, Jesus. So Martin Luther King wrote, "He who is greatest among you shall be a servant." That is the new definition of greatness. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. And I ask you to imagine in this moment what it would look like if we really did redefine greatness in our society as Jesus did, as Martin Luther King did, as service, as we strive to do here on Sundays at Southport Congregational Church. So it's in that spirit of generous service and the gratitude that it invokes that I invite you to this morning's offering. meditation. Receive these gifts, O God, as expressions of our gratitude and loving devotion. May they be used to multiply your love among us and all people. Amen.
I just want to say, totally off topic of this, but when I was listening to the harp, I was thinking, when I was a kid, and you know, there's all these images of like harps in heaven and everything, and I thought, how boring. And now I think, that would be great. I just think that would be absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that. A little bit of heaven. We're going to start off this morning with a short riddle, okay? And you can think about it, and then we'll obviously get our answer at the end. And the riddle begins with, what is free, but is the most valuable thing that you have? And even though once you spend it and it's gone forever, every one of us always spends all of it. But the good news is, every day, every person, rich or poor, unemployed or CEO, is given a brand new deposit of this to again spend as they wish. And it's the exact same amount for every person, rich or poor, tall or short, healthy or terminally ill, young or old. Every person is faced, when given this, with the exact same predicament, which is always, what will you do with it? And this mysterious thing, of course, is what? Time. Time. And so now to today's scripture. It's one of my favorite passages. It's there in your bulletin. And there are some very wise, beautiful, life-guiding words of Jesus, who says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And may God bless now our understanding and our living of these tremendous words of abundant life. Amen. So 40 years ago, there were two things that made a great impact on me that still influence me today. And the first was, not a surprise to you, but I graduated from college. That's not it. The first thing was that I got a job in insurance. Great fit, right? For some, not for me. But can you imagine me as an insurance person? No offense to insurance people. This actually might be a compliment to them. And that includes my entire family that is in, every single one of them are in a different part of insurance. It's just not for me. Not my calling. And because it wasn't my calling during those first few years when I was in my early 20s when I worked in insurance, as it turns out, insurance actually gave me a tremendous gift. And how is that? Because it was such a bad fit for me that it drove me to do a lot of soul searching. And I was asking over and over, what on earth am I doing here? And there's got to be something better than this. And what is my life about? And what am I investing in? So I was a claims adjuster, and my territory was the northwestern part of Connecticut, and it was a huge area, and so there was a lot of driving, and I spent about half of my time in my car driving, and because of that, what I would get to do is I would listen to tapes. Now, tapes, Julie, and all young people, just think podcasts, okay? And I would listen to these tapes about spirituality and personal development and so forth. And because I had all this time to do this, I would like to take this opportunity to officially thank Hartford Insurance Company for part of my spiritual development. And one of the tapes that I would listen to so many times, it was from a lecture that I had attended in college, and it was by, and as you know, I mention him from time to time, Ram Dass. Ram Dass was there as a visiting person for just a couple of days, and they had, college had Health Enrichment Week, which was a special thing, and I saw this, and so I skipped all my classes in business. I was a business major, and I was mysteriously drawn to attend every single one of these lectures and workshops and programs, and it was on subjects like meditation and yoga, positive addictions, biofeedback, and so forth. And then there was this one person who I'd never heard of before whose name was Ram Dass. And he gave a lecture and he gave a separate workshop. And he said a few things that stuck with me and that I just kept turning over and over and over and over and over in my mind. And the first was actually our scripture passage. And I had never remembered previously really hearing this passage, or certainly not hearing it in the same way that when he shared it. And as they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I think that's part of what was happening. But he said, and he said it in these words, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth nor rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there lies your heart also. And I remember hearing those words and wondering, what's my treasure? What's my treasure? And then the other thing that made this impact on me was still same lecture, and I listened to him tell a story about Mahatma Gandhi. And Mahatma Gandhi, the short version of this is when he was leading all these peace marches, Gandhi was, and he was on a train, he was in the station, the train was stopped, it was ready to go, and there was all these news reporters that were gathered around the outside of the train and just in throngs, and everybody's trying to get to him, and people are shouting questions. And one reporter shouted a question that kind of rose above the rest, and he said, Mahatmaji, Gandhiji, which is how they said it, give us a message. And Gandhi, always traveling very sparsely and simply, wrote some words down on, he had a lunch in his brown paper bag, and he wrote on the brown paper bag, and then he ripped off that corner of the bag, and he folded it, and he passed it out the window to the reporters, and they opened it, and they read it, and his words said, my life is my message. And Ram Dass, in his talk, he said, your life is your message. And so that just turned over and over in my mind. What's my life? What's my message? What am I investing in? And over the years, I've pushed myself with those questions. And they've helped me continually clarify those things that I truly care about. And I still ask those questions today. And obviously, my response now is, this is my life. This is my life. You are my life. Very literally. You are my life. And you're my message. Laura is my life. My family is my life, my message. Doing all that I get to do is my life and my message. That's me now. Back then, I didn't get to experience any of this. And I was in a very different place. And so I kept asking the question again and again. And after a few years, I had gotten to the point of understanding, not knowing specifically what it was. But I got to the point of understanding, for me, that my life and my message was about, I could clarify it to loving God, loving others, becoming love itself, making the world a better place, and staying on the path. And that was back then. But by clarifying that message then, that's what led me here, to you, to Laura, to everything that I've experienced in my life, to reality that has far exceeded my dreams. A reality that was even beyond the world of insurance. Now that was me, and of course, it's going to be completely different for you. Because every person has a different answer to those questions. But the thing is, life asks the same question of all of us. Which are these questions that we hear? What's your treasure? What are you investing in? And I'll say either intentionally or unintentionally. With your precious gift of time, that once you've spent it, it's gone forever. But in the process of your spending it creates your treasure. Where again, whether you're rich or poor, CEO or unemployed, person of wonderful health, or terminally ill, that question is the same for everyone. What do you do with it? And sometimes this is a disturbing question. But it's a question that awakens us from at least potentially sleepwalking through life and someday being jolted awake, wondering, how did I get here? Where did the time go? How did everything go so fast? And so why do I bring this up at this point? Obviously, it's the beginning of the year, 16 days into 2022. And so it's a good time for a reevaluation and to choose a new direction or maybe just tune things up a bit. Because as Christine Miller said, at any given moment, you have the power to say, this is not how the story is going to end. You get to write how it is going to be, regardless of what's happened before. Or, thinking about Julie's books, as Dr. Seuss said, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, and you can steer yourself any direction you choose. Or if you're looking for a more spiritual, Yogi Bikram Choudhury said, he said, you are never too old, never too bad, never too late, never too sick to start from scratch once again. And then on January 2nd, I read something that just immediately took hold. And this is actually the quote that I wanted to share with you that's also in your bulletin. And I'll just read it. Where this person said, I've reached the point in my life this past year where I've realized just how vital the idea and essence of time is. Who and what gets my time these days We don't get time back, he said. So in 2022 and beyond, the people, the projects, the energy, the everything, life, if it gets my time and gets me out of bed, then I'll go to sleep knowing it was worth it. And it was all time wisely spent. Time is our most valuable currency. So what is your treasure? In what are you investing? Things that will pass, things which moth and rust will corrupt, or things that stick. There was a poem that I've shared here before, and that I know that it has stuck with at least one person who's talked to me about it a couple different times over the years, and so I just want to share it with you again, called The Dash. And it goes like this. You may have heard this before, pretty well known. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of his friend. He referred to the dates of her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the second with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash in between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive here on earth. And now, only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. But what matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. You could be at dash mid-range. So if we slow down just enough to consider what is true and what is real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved them before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remembering that the special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions in rehash, would you be pleased with the things they say about how you spent your dash? William James, who's considered the father of modern psychology from back in the 1800s, he said, the best use of life is to invest in something which will outlast life. Albert Einstein said, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. Christ said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we've heard Martin Luther King talked about service being the essence. And Gandhi said, my life is my message. How will you spend your dash? Beautiful. And hopefully disturbing. We started with a riddle and we end with the same riddle. What is free, but is the most valuable thing you have, and yet we always spend it? No one's ever gotten away without having to spend every bit of it. we spend it well, it continues through others. We fritter it away, it's just gone. Every day, every person is given a new deposit in their account, the exact same amount for every person to spend as they wish, and whether you're rich or whether you're poor, unemployed or CEO, tall, short, healthy, terminally ill, young or old, everyone has the same predicament, which is, what are you going to do with it? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, timeless treasures. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Last quote, and I read that someone took this and actually put it in their calendar with an alarm, repeating every day. I love it so much, I put it in my alarm for 7:30 in the morning, every day for the next 40 years. I'm hopeful. And it says this, a year from now, you'll wish you had started today. Go and create your treasure. Amen. Opportunity and possibility to use that gift again and again, in whatever way we wish. May we go from this place with all of this, embracing, receiving, and giving once again through our minds, through our words, through our actions. This we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.